السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد و اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. حضور سیز دیٹ دی ٹرانسلیشن آف دس ورس از دیٹ وین مائی سروینٹس آسک دی اباؤٹ می سے آئی ایم نیئر آئی آنسر دی پریئر آف دی سپلیکینٹ وین ہی پریز ٹو می سو دے شوڈ ہارکن ٹو می اینڈ بلیو ان می سو دیٹ دے مے فالو دا رائٹ وے. Huzur says that it's immense blessing and grace of Allah Almighty that He has enabled us to witness another holy month of Ramadan. And today, just out of His sheer mercy, we are passing through the sixth day of fasting of this Ramadan. If a man thinks, then one cannot count all the blessings and the bounties of Allah Almighty. When Allah Almighty said, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, that those people who try their best to meet us, we certainly guide, enable them to come to those ways which bring them to us. And Allah Almighty said that those people who strive to come to us, Allah Almighty enables them to come to them to come to Him. But Allah Almighty has not left it to the people that they should try to find out the paths themselves or select those paths. If they have been able to find the right path, then it's good. I will just catch hold of them there and I will protect them from falling into the pit of fire. No, not like that. But Allah Almighty, in every time, as according to His tradition, through His prophets, He has shown us those paths which take people to God Almighty. And when the human faculties, they attained its maturity, then it was certainly passing through a stage of evolution. The man has achieved that stage. So then Allah Almighty sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by appointing him and sending him through his perfect book of Sharia, he has shown us the paths of leading to him, so that man could avoid his destruction, and he could follow those paths which are taking a person to God. And one path out of those is the fasting in the month of Ramadan. This is the holy month of Ramadan, which carries so many blessings, as we find from the Holy Quran and the verse which I have quoted in one of the previous verses to this one. Allah Almighty has mentioned that this is the means of giving nearness to the people, giving to people the way of the nearness. And this fasting was prescribed to the people of previous nations as well. And today they have been made obligatory for Muslims. But as Islam is a perfect religion, so therefore the perception and the regulation of the fasting is also very perfect. The determination of the timing of the sihr and iftar and other rules and regulations and exceptions are also there, in which because of journey and ailment, exception has been given. And there is an instruction about expiation if the people can afford, and if there is a permanent ailment, then instruction about that has also been given. And the attention has been drawn to the worship repeatedly in so many ways, because this is a month full of blessings of Allah. Therefore, a mu'min should always remember that a minor type of sickness should not be taken as an excuse of abandoning the fast. A true believer, his standard of true obedience, full obedience, is only recognized when he leaves aside his eating and drinking and other permissible actions. He leaves aside, and in order to get the pleasure of Allah Almighty, and he strives his best. Because in these days, Allah Almighty forgives the sins of his servant, and to give him the nearness to Allah Almighty, he makes special arrangements for that. The one is mentioned, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. Subulana, that for people of all countries, of all nations, of all areas, Allah Almighty has mentioned that we always guide them to the right path. And the one who puts in his best effort, we always guide them. So this is a general statement and a public pronouncement. And everybody with a pious intention who tries to go towards God Almighty, he is the one who is going to get the blessings of Allah. But the month of Ramadan is such a month in which, because of the sacrifices which a person offers for the sake of Allah Almighty, because of the instruction of Allah Almighty, so this fountain of a special blessing is also opened up for the people. For the spiritual advancement of the people, Allah Almighty has made special arrangements. Such an atmosphere has been provided, which makes the paths of righteousness is very helpful for that purpose. And the desire of a person, or the effort of a person to get the pleasure of Allah Almighty has made this path very easy. And also for the acceptance of the prayer of the servant of Allah, all the distances have been reduced into nearness. In one hadith, it is mentioned, The Holy Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, related by Hazrat Abu Huraira, that إِذَا جَعَى رَمَزَانُ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَسُفِدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The translation of that is, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that when the month of Ramadan comes, then the doors of paradise are laid open and the doors of hell are closed and the Satan is shackled in chains. So now you see that Allah Almighty, through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he has described that situation and described it for us, that during the month of Ramadan, this is the situation. So is it not a matter of great fortune for us that Allah the Almighty has enabled us to benefit from yet another holy month of Ramadan? Allah Almighty, in normal circumstances, He rewards one virtue manifold. And the punishment of the sin is just equal to that. But in these days, according to this hadith, it is established, it appears that Allah Almighty, there is no limit to His bounties. Unlimited blessings are descending upon the people, on his servants. And in normal days, the Satan has got the freedom to sit on every path and to mislead the people, and he tries to do so. And sometime, and even those people who are performing good deeds, they are also deceived by the instigation of the Satan, by the deception of the Satan. And their pace of increasing in goodness is slowed down. Satan sometime, actually Huzur says that Satan also, sometime in the garb of goodness, he is taking the righteous people even to some bad things. But here, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has pronounced, and certainly he has made it with the permission of Allah, وَسُفِدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that the Satans are shackled in chains, they are bound in chains. And Satan has his, the helpers who are appointed on various paths and ways. It is a good opportunity that one should benefit from the spiritual atmosphere of this holy month of Ramadan and performing all types of good deeds. And one should try to enter from as many doors of paradise as it may be possible for a human being. And one should try to attain those heights which cannot be reached by Satan. And then try to, and those standards, we should try to make them a part of our life. And the standards of worship should also be increased and raised higher and higher on the charity and donation to people and help of people, because this is something, because we have to follow the noble example of our Holy Master, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, whose hand during the month of Ramadan used to move like a strong gale during this month of Ramadan in performance of good deeds. We have to attain more and more and new ways, because these are the ways which can bless us with the nearness of Allah Almighty. Through the recitation of the Holy Quran, we should also try to do good actions, and we should perform the recitation with the great love and affection, because this is also a means of getting the love and affection of Allah Almighty. So we will be really very, very fortunate during the days of Ramadan. We get maximum blessings from this holy month of Ramadan. And benefiting from these days, we become pure servants of Allah Almighty. And we should be counted among those people about whom one hadith mentions. Hadrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has related this one, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that Allah Almighty says that every action of a human being, a son of Adam, is for himself, but the fasting is for me, and I am going to reward this good deed. And the fasting is like a shield. So when he is going through this fast, then he should not be using indecent talk or abuse or talking. If somebody tries to pick up the fight or tries to fight with him, then he should say that I am fasting. The one in whose hand the life of Muhammad is there, the bad smell coming from the mouth of the person who observed the fast is more desirable than the fragrance of the musk. There are two happiness for the person who observed the fast. One is at the time of the completion of the fast, he is happy. And secondly, when he is going to meet his Lord on the Day of Judgment, he would be very pleased with his practice of fasting. So we should try to observe such fast which until the moment that we pass away from this world, which should be make every action that we perform the means of attaining the nearness of Allah Almighty, and which are going to link us with Allah Almighty. We should also remember that every person who is fasting, who does not observe all the requirements of the fast, according to the wording of the hadith, وَإِذَا لَكِيَ رَبَّهُ فَرِحَ بِصَوْمِهِ, that when he would be meeting his Lord, he would be happy with his fast. He cannot become the person who is like that. And regarding that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also warned us that only fasting is not enough, that if you do so, then you will be very happy on the day of meeting with Allah. But for the acceptance of the fast, there are certain requirements, requisites are there, which have to be fulfilled, about which I will mention some details. Hadrat Abu Huraira r.a. he relates that that the one who does not abandon telling lies and action according to that during the state of fasting, Allah Almighty is not in need that a person should be abandoning his food or drink. So the one who abstains from vices, he is given the glad tiding of the pleasure of Allah Almighty. And in this hadith it is mentioned that the one who does not abandon and does not avoid these vices, actually his fast is not a fast. It's simply no more than a starvation. And Allah Almighty is not doesn't make any difference for Allah Almighty if somebody is starving or not. And this does not increase anything good so far as the actions of that person is concerned if he is simply starving. So in order to beg the true blessings of Allah Almighty and to get the maximum blessing out of the month of Ramadan, in this special atmosphere, a special effort is needed and required. Our atmosphere is the same, where some good people are living, and those who are moving forward in righteousness, and for the pleasure of Allah Almighty, those who are striving and working hard for that. Then there are some other people who are indulged in vices, those who are stepping so low in adultery and fornication and drinking of alcohol, and there are some people who observe they are fasting, but still they are shedding the bloods of other people. And there are some people who consider torturing Ahmadis as a means of their salvation. And so these people who are working these bad things and who are performing these good deeds, bad deeds, can these people be equal to those who are performing good deeds during the month of Ramadan? As for those people who perform good deeds, the doors of paradise have been laid open For those people who perform bad deeds, are the doors of paradise going to be open for these people as well? As the people who perform good deeds and those who worship, they have been protected and their Satan has been shackled. And those people who perform this type of vices, have they been protected from hell and their Satan have been chained? If their Satan has also been chained, then why this type of satanic actions are being done by these people? Otherwise, they should have been performing good deeds. So this matter is conditional with certain conditions and with certain actions. Which are done for the purpose of attaining the pleasure of Allah Almighty during the month of Ramadan. Allah Almighty, more than normal, more than ordinary days, will provide this facility of getting nearness to Allah. Because that person who fasts and fasts with the intention of pleasing Allah Almighty, then for the purpose of attaining the pleasure of Allah Almighty, he would definitely be leaving aside and avoiding all these vices. Even he would be abandoning those things which are otherwise permissible. So, out of these special God-given facilities to us by Allah Almighty, there is a need that we should beg forgiveness from Allah Almighty and make use of this time. And those good things which we have been told through the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are sometime which he explained in answer to the question of the companions are just he thought that they might be asking. So all these things have been mentioned in the Holy Quran, and the verse I have recited, as I have told you, is right in the middle of the commandments of the fasting in the Holy Quran, and where Allah Almighty has mentioned to His servants, he has given the glad tiding to His servants regarding the acceptance of the prayer. And as the ahadith which I have presented, they also explain this verse of the Holy Quran. In ahadith with reference to fasting, certain do's and don'ts have been mentioned. And here as well, Allah Almighty has mentioned regarding coming closer to Allah and getting the closeness and nearness to Allah Almighty and the acceptance of prayer. After mentioning this, Allah Almighty has also put certain conditions. And we have to take care of that. The first condition is Iza Sa'alaka Ibadi, that it is not for every Tom, Dick and Harry. To get the blessings from Ramadan and to see the acceptance of prayer is not for ordinary people, for any person. But it is for those people who really want to become His true abd, true servant. And these blessings are going to be given to those people. And those people who are the chosen people of Allah Almighty are those who wish to become the chosen special people of Allah Almighty. Those who say, Iyaka nabudu wa iyaka nastain, from every action is indicative of that. Where Allah Almighty has mentioned the special distinction of His chosen people, they question about Anni, about God Almighty. They ask the Holy Prophet about Him. They are searching for God. Their desires are not worldly. They wish to have God Almighty. And if Allah Almighty is there, they should be asking Him to progress in the world, in their business, in their worldly desires, for the fulfillment of the worldly desires. Not like this, but actually their desire is that, please tell us, where is my Allah? I am restless. I am very keen to find my God, my Allah. The world is moving towards atheism, and regarding the person of God, their books are written against Him. And in this condition, I who believe in absolutely one God, I have got only one desire, that I should have that full understanding and perception of God Almighty, that no worldly thing, no a glamour of atheism should not be able to take me away from this faith of being an Ahmadi Muslim. And in order to fulfill this desire, I observed the fast during the month of Ramadan with special attention, with special care. And Allah Almighty says that those who are searching for me very honestly and dedicatedly, tell them that I am very close to you. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the perfect book which was revealed upon him, they believe in that and they are act upon according to that one. And in the search of Allah Almighty, following the tradition of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is following that. And for the attainment of love of Allah Almighty, he loves the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Almighty says, I am very close to the such people. And whenever such servants of mine, they call upon me, I will respond to them. I do respond to them. So then if you have to start this communion with Allah Almighty, then before that you have to be dedicated in your search for God. And for this search of Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty Himself has shown us certain ways, which I have just mentioned. That first of all, they should completely come under the guidance of the Holy Quran and follow the tradition of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they should be going to the highest point of their intense love with the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then according to the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which came as the worldly and heavenly signs, they have been fulfilled. The Imam of the age, they should be extremely loyal to him and dedicated to him. And the greatest lover of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his initiation, they should be very, very loyal. And simply the declaration of being Muslim is not enough. And whenever this subject comes up, it says only to say aslamna is not enough. But yuminu bi, that is also very required there, that you perfect your faith. And in order to make it perfect, don't have your own definitions, but try to follow follow that path to in order to get to the faith, real faith, which Allah Almighty has indicated and His Prophet has explained to us. Allah Almighty says, yuminu bi, that how would you be able to attain of faith in me? That you will attain when فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, that you will be completely, you will be listening to me and you will be responding positively, you will be listening to my instructions. And this will be achieved at that time when you will be following all the instructions contained in the Holy Quran, you will be striving for that. The paths of righteousness, in order to tread upon that, you will, and in order to get the pleasure of Allah Almighty, and in order to respond to the calls of Allah, and in order to discharge the responsibilities towards Allah and the human beings, that is required to be done dedicatedly. And also you have to very sincerely pay attention to the worship of Allah Almighty, and also towards the rights of human beings, fellow beings. You have to show good morals, good behavior. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that those people, those who have both these qualities in them, the Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad, both the qualities are there, they are the truly righteous people. And regarding these people, it can be said that these are really in search of Allah. And regarding these people, it can be said that they are truly responding to the call of Allah. If some morals are there, some good qualities are there, and some rights are being discharged, they are paying attention to some dues, and some are being ignored, then that person cannot truly be called a muttaqi, a righteous person. So, in your prayers, for the acceptance of your prayer, and all in order to get nearness to Allah Almighty, this is the standard of righteousness which you should try to attain. So, all of us, during this Ramadan, we should try our best that dedicatedly we worship Allah Almighty. We should be counted among that. and we should be understanding the true unity of Allah Almighty and to discharge the responsibility with our full faculties. We should try to become like those. We have to perform our prayers as they are due. And regarding some people, I am sometimes worried and I am very much surprised. And some people say that we try to become those who offer their 5 daily prayers. But still, they say that sometimes they miss one or two. So when the prayers are missed like that, how can you request then God Almighty for the acceptance of your prayers? And similarly, in order to follow all the Islamic morals, sincere effort is required. So each one of us is required that during the month of Ramadan, therefore the righteousness and to get the nearness to Allah Almighty, we should try to get the highest standard and we should get maximum benefit out of this Ramadan. Allah Almighty has the doors of the paradise which He has opened. And for each one of that, we should be seeking help of Allah Almighty and try to enter through those doors. And only then we will be counted among those who are moving towards the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty enable us to do so. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, with reference to this verse, in one place he has said that it is necessary that you seek the help through your prayers and to get my nearness through the prayers. And Allah Almighty Allah says that they should try to seek my nearness through prayers and they should believe in me so that they are victorious and successful. So this is the special month of the acceptance of the prayers, and the greatest prayer that we should always offer is that we should have the communion and link with Allah Almighty. We should be near to Allah Almighty. We should be linked to Allah Almighty. And we should be able to meet. We should pray for that. That if we find, we actually get God Almighty, we meet God Almighty, then all other desires, they would automatically be fulfilled. It is my prayer that Allah Almighty enable all of us. But here I would like to point out one thing more. That the definition of dua, the prayer, has also been made by the Promised Messiah, what sort of prayer it should be. Regarding this, Hazrat Masih Maud says that don't ever think that that we pray and the whole prayer that we do, that is the prayer, the whole. But that prayer, after full understanding and as a result of the blessing of Allah Almighty, that is totally different type of prayer. That is something which completely perishes. It is like a fire. It is a magnetic power attracting the blessing of Allah Almighty. It is like a death which gives you the life at the end. This is like a very strong river, but it becomes a boat at the end. And this is like a poison, but it becomes the remedy of all the ailments at the end. The prayer comes from Allah and it takes a person to Allah Almighty. And through prayer, Allah Almighty becomes so near to you as your own soul is near to you, as your own life is. The very first blessing of the prayer is that a person should have some pious changes in him. Allah Almighty grant us that perception and understanding through which we are able to get the true nature of the prayer. And we are able to get, we can understand the philosophy of attaining God Almighty, and every action, every deed of us should be such that it should be for the sake of Allah Almighty, for the attainment of His pleasure. And because of these prayers during the month of Ramadan, we should be granted such prayers which bring a person closer to Allah, and there should be such pious changes in us which make us very distinct from the rest of the people. We should always include that we should be protected from all harms and dangers, and for the progress of the community we should pray. And the prayers which we do for the establishment of Allah's religion, they would certainly be taking us near to Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty enable us for these prayers and enable us to bring pious changes in us. And we become fortunate to get the nearness of Allah Almighty. After that, Huzur says, I would like to mention about Hazrat Maulana Dost Muhammad Sahib Shahid, who has passed away 2 days ago. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. He was one of the top scholars of the Jamaat. Allah Almighty continue to raise his status and position in paradise. He was known as Murakh Ahmadiyyat. He was the historian of Ahmadiyyat. 20 volumes have been published. But I feel that he was not only historian of Ahmadiyyat, in that he was also a chapter of the history of Ahmadiyyat. And he was such a brilliant person that who was dedicated to the spreading of the light of Islam, Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam, whenever it was possible. He was very very strong in his memory. Very strong memory was there. And it will not be. And some people also have written to me that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he has already mentioned. And I didn't know that I used to say that he was like an encyclopedia. And now that when I read, then I came to know that Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi has also mentioned the same thing about him. He was an encyclopedia. The old scholars and the divines, he used to memorize remember their references. And not only he remembered the references, but also the book and the page was also remembered by him. Some people have written to me about his some personal good qualities. And some information from his son I have obtained. And as I said, he was also a chapter of the history of Ahmadiyyat. Everything cannot be explained here. Some of the things I'm going to mention about him. He was very selfless and the one who spent most of his time for the sake of religion. He was a waqf-e zindagi. He was a devotee of life and extreme love with the institution of Khilafat and complete dedicatedly attached to it. He was a very pious man, full of prayer. But somebody wrote to me that whenever I asked him for prayer, so then he would always say that you should write to Khalifatul Masih. Always he used to say that. He was very modest, very humble. And whenever he came across anything which he read somewhere in the book, he used to send me the photocopies of those books. He was such a scholar who is justified to be called a scholar with a corresponding action and deeds. Alim Ba'amal. He was a very dedicated worker, as I said. When such a helper passes away, then certainly one is gloomy, but I hope from Allah Almighty that Allah Almighty will always be blessing the Khilafat with such helpers, Sultan Nasir. Somebody, Mubashir Ayaz Sahib, has written to me that when he used to attend the meetings with him, his personality was something completely immersed in the love of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And the central point of his thinking was around Khilafat. And he would not care for any reference from any book. And he would say that when the Khalifatul Masih has mentioned something about that, then what is the importance of the reference of that person or that person? Another Murabbi Sahib has written to me that Saudi Arabs Amir Sahib came, that we have to compile the history of Saudi Arab. Then let's go to Maulana Dost Mohammad Sahib Shahid, and we went to his office, and within half an hour he gave us all the references and he explained the full history and also gave us the photocopies. And he has a very strong memory, and he was the king of these references. Somebody has written to me that whenever I went for a reference into his office, and he had very special care for the Jamaat properties, and he gave me the reference, and I took the pen from his table and started writing with that. I took the paper. He said that he took back the pen and the pen and the paper back from me, that if you have come for getting the reference, then you use your own pen and paper. And then Mahmood Malik Sahib has written to me that he was a friend of his father, and once he went for a tour to Lahore, and he said that I can't come because of the to him. The Malik Sahib went for, because of his friendship, he went on the rickshaw, and he tried to pay the fare for the rickshaw. And next day, he had to go to Masjid Daru Zikr, and then he asked to bring the taxi, and I will pay the fare, because Merkaz gives me the fare for the taxi, and they should sit in taxi and not sit in rickshaw. So this type of obedience was there, and we get several lessons from, and for whatever facility you are entitled by the Merkaz, then we have to use that. And also he has to maintain the dignity of the scholars. That was also always to be kept in mind. As I mentioned, he passed 2 days ago on 26th of August. In 1935, he got admission in Madrasa Ahmadiyya, and in 1944, he started his education in Jamia Ahmadiyya. In 46, he passed Mauli Fazil from Punjab University and got the third position. 63 years he continued to serve the cause of the Jamaat. In 1952, at the instruction of Hazrat Muslim Maud Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anhu, he started a column in under the title of Shazrat, in and it continued for a long time. In 1953, he was Hazrat Muslim Maud Raziyallahu Ta'ala Anhu asked him to compile the history of Ahmadiyyat, and 20 volumes of that have already been published, and up to 2004 it is complete, and now it's they have prepared all the notes up to that stage. He has got one son, Dr. Sultan Mubashir Sahib. He is in Fazl Umar Hospital, Rabwa. There are, and he has left behind 5 daughters. In his family, the Ahmadiyyat came into his family like this. Mia Muhammad Murad Sahib Hafsabadi was a very pious man. He became Ahmadi. Then his Mauli Sahib's grandfather, when he came to know about that, then he was very badly treated, and he was beaten so much that he was very, very seriously injured. And Mia Murad Muhammad Sahib said that three intelligent sons of you are going to be converted to Ahmadiyyat. And then after that, the he got very offended at that, his great-grandfather, and he punished them very severely. And regarding that, one incident is there. He has mentioned that Hazrat Muslim Maud Jaba. Nakhla is a small place which was established by Hazrat Muslim Aud. And he was compiling this Tafsir-e-Saghir in the notes of Tafsir-e-Saghir. And Maulvi Sahib also went there. But before going there, he says that then I went to my grandfather. I had gone to the village, and those were the last days of his life. And he started saying that you give a message to your Khalifa that I have got 6 sons, and three of them, one is Hafiz, one is very intelligent, and they have been snatched by me, by the Khalifa, and the other three, which are not very knowledgeable, they have been good for nothing, and they have been taken from me, left, given to me. So if he has got, he can exchange these with me. And when he went to Nakhla, then he mentioned this thing to Huzur, as Muslim Aud. When he listened to this message, and Huzur smiled, and he said that give my message to your grandfather that I am happy to exchange your children. Now you hand over your non-Ahmadi sons to me, and these Ahmadis, you can take them back. And they are allowed, if they want to leave Ahmadiyyat and be with you, they are allowed to go. So when I gave this message to my grandfather, so then he said the Khalifa is very intelligent because he knows that Ahmadi sons are not going to leave the Ahmadiyyat. And he was very much upset and on that. His Maulvi Sahib's mother also accepted Ahmadiyyat on the basis of a vision and dream and joined the community. In 1951, the first class of the Jamiatul Mubashireen, he was a member of that they were qualified, and a farewell party was attended by Hazrat Muslim Aud Razila Talano, and a very and an address was presented, and Hazrat Muslim Aud expressed his happiness about that. And after Jamiatul Mubashireen, then he wrote a very thesis on Jamaat-e-Islami. The title of that was suggested by Hazrat Muslim Aud. And under the guidance of Hazrat Muslim Aud, the whole article was written. And Hazrat Amir Minai, and Hazrat Hafiz Mukhtar Ahmad Shah Jahanpuri, they also guided him to write this. And as I said, in 1953, Hazrat Muslim Aud appointed him to write the history of Ahmadiyyat. 20 volumes are already complete. And the history of Khilafat-e Khamsa is also continuing. And 40 books on various topics have been published, and some of the books have been translated to other languages. He was a great scholarly person, and in his speech and writing he was very expert, and his voice was also specially blessed. In 1974, when Khalifatul Masih Salis, under his leadership, the representative delegation which came to went to the National Assembly, he was also a member of that. And he was the last one in that group. And there, whenever this responsibility of making available these references and books was entrusted to him, whenever he presented those references, the members of the assembly used to get very much surprised. Once
I
During that proceeding, once a member of the assembly mentioned, he expressed his desire, surprise, that our scholars, when they are in search of a reference, they take several days, and this small Maulvi of Ahmadi's, that he gets brings out that reference within 15 minutes. In the Jalsa Salana, for many, many years, for a long period, he was unable to speak in those Jalsas, annual conventions. In 1957, first time at the night session, he spoke. In 1958, it was published. And Hazrat Muslim Maud Razi Allah Ta'ala, he liked it so much and specially mentioned about that in Majlis Shura. He worked as a Qazi as well. And until the time of his demise, he was a member of Majlis Shura. He was the honorary member of that Majlis Shura appointed by the Khalifa. And he was fortunate to attend those. In 1992 and 1993, the International Organization of Cambridge University, they gave them the title of Man of the Year. And this distinction is given to such personalities whose abilities and achievements have been recognized on international level. In 1994, in Tamil Nadu, in a place in India, Jamaat Ahmadiyya and between Jamaat Ahle Hadith, there was a debate. And this took place in a big hotel, big hall of a hotel. And for 9 days it continued. And Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabe asked him to go there. And Allah Almighty blessed him with victory. And he represented the Jamaat in that debate. And during this period, there was the marriage of his daughter, which he did not, he could not participate. And marriages of two daughters were such that he was out on some Jamaat appointment and meeting, and he could not attend those. And he did not care that. Saying that these are my personal things, but Jamaat engagements are important. And he also had the honor of becoming the Asir-e-Rah-e-Mawla, the captive in the way of Allah. For a few days, he remained in the detention in Rabwa in April 88. For the second time, in district jail, Gujranwala, he was detained and imprisoned there. And then in 1990, the bail was refused, and 2 years rigorous imprisonment was declared, and the punishment was announced. But after some time, he came out on bail. So in the jail, he always continued giving the Dars-e-Quran and Tabligh. He writes one of his an incident at the time of Jalsa Salana, when for 2 weeks he had has a bedding in his office, and he was waiting for a telephone call from the private secretary. He Saqib Zirvi Sahib came, was the editor of Lahore, and he said that I am just coming after meeting Huzur. Huzur has said, Khalifatul Masih Salis has said that ask the private secretary to get a certain reference, that Maulvi Sahib should be asked to give that reference. Saqib Sahib mentioned that now it is night, and where we can get Maulvi Sahib at this time. Huzur said, he must be sitting in his office in Tariqh-e-Ahmadiyyat at this time. So I have just come whether you are still available there or not. So this was his duty day and night, that he was always busy in his work. And whenever any instruction would come from Khalifa Waqt, Khalifa of the time, whether it was right, middle of the night, he would immediately get up. And until the finishing of the task, he would not do anything else. But he would say that I do not consider it lawful that I should be doing anything else until I accomplish the task. Dr. Mushar Sahib has mentioned that a few days before his demise, he said that I have heard the voice of Dr. Abdul Salam Sahib. He was saying Assalamu Alaikum to him, and that was the indication of his going back to Allah. Whenever he was worried, his children have written, Sultan Bashir Sahib has written, whenever there was worry, he would always say that write to the Khalifa of the time and give the charity and seek forgiveness of your sin. And Arabic, Persian and English, he used to have a wide study. And whenever reading these books, he used to mark them and highlight them and note down the points. He was a well-read person. And he has said that Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has given this admonition that always purchase your own books and read them. And this is what he always followed. And he established his own personal library, which has got more than 8,000 books. Whenever he would go out, then so when Khalifa of the time is there, he has to get the everyone has to take the permission. But in his absence, the permission from Amir Mukami used to obtain. And when for personal needs he would go, and he wouldn't meet his family members, he wouldn't meet his daughters who used to live in Lahore. But some of his daughters would come to know after he has come back, gone back. And whenever he had to meet them, then he would meet with the permission of the local Amir, and always he would say that I am a soldier of the Khalifa of the time, and the soldier is not allowed to leave his bunker. And he never had a day off on Friday in the offices. Generally, the offices are closed. He would continue to work, and there was no concept of any day of holiday and free day. Very simple dress, but it was very nice, clean, and every day taking bath and using the perfume. That was, he used to say that the representative of the Jamaat, he must keep a regard for the dignity of the Jamaat and take care of these matters. And after performing the dedication of life, he never ever begged anything from someone, nor directly or indirectly. He ever mentioned about his personal needs. Dr. Sultan Bashir Sahib writes that once my mother mentioned that a certain scholar is getting a stipend from a generous person. So if you also try, this can also be possible and the situation will improve. But he said that I cannot become such a shameless person. And I do not consider it permissible that I should be extending my hand to anybody except Allah Almighty. Once some of the missionaries, and they asked that you sign on it, and it was written that the workers in Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya are paid less than Tahreek-e-Jadeed, you also sign on that paper. So therefore a revision should be made. So he said, I am not going to sign on it, because I am a dedicator of life. Whatever the Jamaat is going to pay me, I would accept that with great thanks. And this is also a blessing and gratefulness for us that the Jamaat is paying us. And he never wrote to any caliph for help and never ever made any complaint about these things. Once, Hazrat Khalifat Masih Salis, and he was in need of Mauli Sahib, and He was searched here and there, but people could not find him. At the time of Asr, when he came, then Hazrat Khalifatul Masih asked him that, we have been searching for you. He said, I was sitting in the library. But the situation was that the worker of the library, he locked me inside and went away. So I started, climbed on the wall and went into the library and sat there, and I was doing work. And very nicely he pointed out to the mistake of the worker, but also told that where he was. And in the jail, as I mentioned, that there, there was some hard labor. And as long as he stayed there, he never ever complained about that. And only after he was released, then he mentioned about that. He used to bind his own books. He was very fond of doing his own jobs. And he had his own personal library at his home, that even during the night time, whenever the need is there from the Khalifatul Masih, something was required, some job was assigned, or search for a reference was needed, then he was able to make use of his own personal library and not to wait for the library to be the other library to be opened. In the beginning, he used to travel on. He was walk on foot. There was no cycle available in those days. And I remember, I realized myself when I listened this, that when these Khudamul Ahmadiyya Ijtimaats were there, the TA College was far away in the ground of TA College or in the horse race ground. And from Anjuman Ahmadiyya's quarters, he used to go in his proper dress of Achkan and turban, and he used to walk all the way to that place. So perhaps he was unable to purchase bicycle because the condition of the Jamaat was such, and the allowances of the missionaries were very low. So his son has written to me that yes, certainly he was not able to purchase a cycle, and he used to travel on walk on foot wherever. In 1989, he got a bicycle from the office. And whenever he used to sit in the Majalis-e-Irfan of the Khulafa, he used to lower his face down, and he used to say that as the Muslim Aud also used to sit like that. And his father has, his son has written to me that my father, he was, that I went to see Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis, and just for a while when Huzur went inside, and the shoes of Huzur was outside, and I had the honor of polishing his shoes with my own handkerchief, and he was very happy on that. Somebody has written very correctly that for whatever works, for certain works, departments are created. He worked, he did that job single-handed. And he, in the beginning, he was all alone, and he was in searching, finding out the reference and preparing the notes. He used to do it single-handed. And very successfully, mashallah, he has done this job. And the children say that we even didn't know that the worldly people, they do for the sake of the world, but they sometimes use their weekend for the holiday with their children. That the children say that for months we didn't know that at what time our father would come back to the home and when he would go outside. And when he used to go, we were asleep, and when he used to come back, we were again asleep at that time. This is, Huzur says, this is a historical advice for Waqfine Zindagi, for the devotees of life and the missionaries. In 1965, that it was the first Jummah of Khilafat Salsa, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Salis, he asked, he called for the Maulvi Sahib and told him, that Jummah is a holiday, but I have asked you to come here And he said, I am very pleased for that. And Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih said that I have called you, that when he said that when I filled my form for Waqf-e-Zindagi, then I presented it to Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih Sani. Then he said that today you have fulfilled my hidden desire of my heart. And I had wished that you should be joining the workers of Tariq-e-Jadid without my saying. And so now he said, I am very happy. So now you have dedicated your life and there is no holiday for you till your death. And Maulvi Sahib said that Huzoor, I also make a promise that as a devotee of life, day and night I will be busy in the service of the community. And by the grace of Allah, he fulfilled this promise of his till the last moment. When he was admitted in hospital, he was very seriously ill. And whenever he recovered a little bit, so as long as he was conscious, mostly he was unconscious at the end, he would say, at that time I should be relieved, from the hospital because I have to fulfill certain things which have been entrusted to me by the Khalifa of the time. So till the last moment he fulfilled his promise. Allah Almighty continued to raise his status and also enable his progeny to continue these good deeds which he performed. Dr. Sultan Mubashir Sahib is also a dedicated devotee of life. Allah Almighty enable him to fulfill this task as a devotee of life. His namaz-e-janazah in absentia will be led after the Jummah prayer, and along with that there are two other janazah. One is of the younger brother of Mauli Sahib. He passed away only after 1 hour after the demise of Mauli Sahib, and he did not have any other progeny. And he was also well advanced in financial sacrifices. He was blessed for that. Just before his, he offered 200,000 rupees for Maryam Fund, and also paid for the marriages of certain children, orphan children. So he was a man performing good deeds and a very pious man. And also Naseem Begum Sahiba. Muhammad Aslam Sahib is the brother of Mauli Sahib. And Naseem Begum Sahiba, a wife of Bashir Ahmed Sahib of in Sargoda. She passed on 17th August, our missionary of the Jamaat. Muhammad Arif Bashir Sahib's mother, she was, who is in Tanzania. He could not attend the funeral prayer of his mother. He said that when I got admission into the Jamia, and then he advised him that now you go and study there and come back as a missionary. So Allah Almighty may raise the status of all these, and their good desires regarding their children, they may also be fulfilled. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nasta'firuhu, wa nu'minu bihi, wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والفحشاء الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.